Yes, going fishing. Actually, it's not what the show's about today. I picked a little bit of music just to kind of get me in the mood, make me really, you know, kind of want to be in the whole fishing thing. I've actually been out going fishing a little bit here lately, and, you know, I mean, that's, yes, look at that. Everybody, you know, everybody likes it when you actually get out and go fishing and do
especially
stuff
like
that. You know, I get a little less irritable. It would be nice to say I was not irritable, but we'll go with less irritable, right?
I'll take that.
Okay. This is the first new show, and we're going to try and do this on a weekly basis. And we've been trying to figure out a show where you could get to know some of the people in the fishing tackle business. But getting them to say, okay, come on, we'll talk about fishing and stuff, is really, really harder than you might think. And so Robert and I conceived of this morning, and we're starting it out. A way to get anybody to do a show is to do what they actually do every day, what they're interested in. So we are going to do a show, and I don't know what it's going to be called. I got Fish and Franks, the business of fishing and the people in it. And what this is going to be about is literally you're going to get to meet a lot of the people that I meet. They're going to explain who they are, what their jobs are, what they do in the industry, about all the stuff. And so I hope you're going to like it. It's a different kind of concept. I don't think people are really doing this. I don't know of anybody else doing it. I, you know, leaving the house this morning, I called Robert, and Robert and I talked about it. We decided, okay, we're going to do this. So Fish and Frank in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me, and as our first guest on the very new program, hopefully, which will be a weekly show on, you know, beginning of the week each week, is Ray. And Ray, I guess the question is, the first question in here, who are you and what type of products do you have? What do you do? What type of products do you have?
Well, I'm a sales rep, and I cover Florida. My name of my rep agency is Alliance Sports Group, and we represent several manufacturers in the fishing industry. And
so that's when you say rep, because you are a representative for the manufacturer.
Correct.
Okay.
And, you know, we rep for Akuma rods and reels, Mustad hooks, fish bites, a whole slew of, you know, fishing manufacturers.
So you're actually not a manufacturer, but your job is...
I'm the guy in the middle.
Yeah, you're the middle guy who actually goes out to make people aware of what products are available. Because let's face it, if you're going to do an internet search for something, the only stuff that comes up is, you know, what people pay Google to be on there. You know, otherwise you got to go to page 46, and by then you forgot what you were looking for.
Right.
So nowadays, and this job has been around a long time since, I mean, reps have been going around since, like, I think the 40s or something like that.
My rep agency, we have been around since 1950.
You've been since 1950. So how are you in the agency? Where's your standing?
In my agency, we're all partners, and we work, well, let me backtrack. My agency covers from Maine to Miami, and I have 9 other partners, and we work together as, you know, new marketing ideas, what my guy is doing in Maine, you know, because he does different things up there, and it may work down here in Florida or vice versa. So, you know, communicate.
Well, my number one selling snook saltwater lure is actually a bass lure from Canada.
Right.
That's where the Storm Twitch Stick came from. And it's a bass lure. And for 2 years, we outsold the country of Canada. So you never know where the next great product is from. And how long have you been in the business, you yourself?
It's going here next year, 2018. I'll be 18 years in the industry.
That's pretty good. So
see, this is where you needed to be. Robert and I were supposed to be alternating on these questions. We do have a list of questions we're going to be asking people. There's 17 questions. followed by a final thought. Everybody will be asked the same one. So the next one is, what started you? How did you get in the fishing tackle business?
Well, my brother-in-law was in the fishing tackle business with Outdoor Technology, which was, you know, Berkeley. And, you know, he traveled the whole Southeast, and, you know, that's one of the things I like to travel. But there was an opening at Pure Fishing, and I got the job in 2000.
So you started back in, what were you doing before the fishing business? There's a question I don't have on the sheet.
I was in retail. I worked 5 years at Sports Unlimited.
So you were actually selling fishing tackle at a retail level, like Robert and I do.
Right.
And then then went to work for a manufacturer, and then into now what is essentially your own rep group.
Correct.
Your partner in the rep group.
Right.
Okay.
Is the business different in the fishing than what you thought it was going to be, and has it changed since you kind of started this?
Yes, it has changed since I've got into the business.
Is the business different than you thought it would be before you? Okay, you're sitting there, you're a person, then you go to selling retail, and that's a little different when you get into the retail end of it. Now, going from the retail to the manufacturer must have been kind of a different thing.
Right. You know, I thought, you know, from coming from retail, was going to be dealing with more, you know, consumers. But, you know, found out that I'm dealing with the stores, and I'm kind of, you know, the guys in the background.
Now, when you got into this, did you think, okay, when you're very young and you were really just getting into it, you thought, wow, if I can get in the fishing business, I can go fishing all the time?
Right. And I mean, that's the last thing.
Was that a thought of yours? Was that real?
I'll be honest. That was a thought of mine, that I'd be fishing. And today, still to this day, I still get asked, you know, if somebody wants to get in this industry, you know, is there going to be a lot of fishing? And boy, I look at them and it's like, that is not the case.
Not so much.
If you want to keep your job, you got to work.
Yeah, because you're traveling all the time. So what is your perception of what you thought it was to what it actually is? You know, is it better or worse than what you thought, or a little bit of both?
It's better. You know, I just like meeting new people, you know, socializing, and, you know, customers, and
this is a pretty horrific industry.
Yeah.
But the people that are in it, even though there's just horrific practices going on all the time, but I would say the vast majority of the people in this are really some great people.
Right.
Nowadays, it's a broad ethnic blend of everybody. When I first got in the business, it really wasn't that much. But now today, it doesn't matter when, men and women and pretty much everybody from around the planet. When you go to an ICAST, you're meeting people from all over the world, every race, creed, color, everything. I think that was one of the big things that, you know, but they all have one thing in common. I think that's one of the cool things about this industry is everybody has something in common, so everybody gets along pretty good.
Right, right. It's a small industry, too.
All right. Out of all the stuff that you do, you know, because you rep, okay, you just picked up Boomerang, and you do Akuma and Mustad.
Frog togs,
and what else do you do? There's a bunch.
Yeah, well, I wear a lot of hats. You know?
All right, here, let's put you on the spot. What is your favorite product? If you were going to pick a favorite product, do you have a favorite out of everything you do? I mean, something like a little bit more than the other ones. One thing that you really enjoy selling. Maybe it's just really worth the money and really good.
Yeah, I love selling hooks.
You love selling hooks?
Because I've been selling hooks for 18 years. And it just, there's, for some people, there's so many different types of hooks. And
it's overwhelming how many different types of hooks there are.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, in repping the, you know, the largest fish hook company in the world, and to learn each of what hook does, because you look in the catalog and you look at these weird shaped, you know, hooks, and it's like, I just talking to consumers and they see these weird shaped hooks, it's like, what is that for? And it's like, you explain to them, oh, okay, I see why that is shaped that way. I feel like, you know, that, you know, knowing hooks that I don't sell in my area, but I, that, you know, sells in, say, in Alaska or in the Northwest, I know what they're for.
You know, this is, Ray and I are very good friends. We've gotten to know each other quite well over the last number of years, and we're very good friends. We do a lot of business together. But this is one of the reasons I like Ray. Ray sells products that go into the hundreds of dollars for an individual product. And what does he pick as his favorite thing? The $1.99, $1.40, $1.50 packs of hooks.
I sell a lot of it.
That's the thing he loves to sell. That's amazing. Right. Out of everything you could have chose. Ray, I'm not kidding you. I'm sitting there, and you can say, I gave you the list of questions. You can look at them, because I don't want to surprise anybody or ambush people. But I have no way of knowing what you're going to answer, right? You didn't tell me any answers ahead of time. That was stunning. I was like, wow. Out of everything you do, the cheapest product you have, the least expensive, let's put it that way, the least expensive product.
That's pretty impressive.
So what types of fishing have you done?
Well, I grew up on a farm, and we had several ponds, so I fished a lot. My first fishing was pan fishing, and learned from there. And then we moved to Tampa, and I fished the Tampa Bay area and got into inshore fishing. And I love snook fishing, redfish, trout, but I have done all types of fishing. So,
well, that leads us to the second part of the question. What is your favorite type of fishing? And for you, it's inshore fishing.
Right.
You know, the reason I'm doing this, guys, and, you know, kind of announcing the questions, part one and part two and all that, is so that these are the questions we're going to ask everybody. Everybody gets the same set of questions. We've tried to come up with a list of stuff that we thought people would like to know about, the people in the industry, getting to know who you are, what your job is, where your place in the universe is, and what type of fishing you do. So you started out with freshwater, like ponds, bluegills, sunfish, all that kind of stuff. Have you been to the Northeast fishing?
No, I have not.
Neither have I, so don't feel bad. I go to Lake Apacon, but I'm there fishing freshwater. I fished the Jersey Shore twice, and love it up there. Absolutely amazing. But my goal is to go to Alaska. Don't know why. I just want to go to Alaska.
That'd be a cool place.
Have you been there yet?
No.
No, neither have I. I've been lucky. I've fished from Montana all the way down through Mexico, almost all of the middle states, the south. Have not made two places I really want to go, Louisiana. And I've been to Louisiana, but I was working at the oil spill. It wasn't a lot of, I didn't have time to fish. I was working 14, 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. So didn't really get, you know, and, you know, dang, BP wouldn't let me have a fishing pole on the boat.
No.
That was rude, you know? All right, so anyway, so your favorite type of fishing is flats fishing. Are you a lures guy, a bait guy, or a little bit of both?
I'm mostly artificial. I just love to, especially when you're side casting, just watching the fish, you know, react to your bait, and you're working it, trying to get as close to a natural, you know, bait, and to see that fish, a snook or redfish, turn on that bait, and I love artificial, but I do live bait too.
Well, and it's fun with artificials because you actually get to fake them out with something.
Right.
You know, it's just a little bit more challenging in some ways, and then there's other times where using an artificial is actually more productive than a live bait because of the areas that you're covering and the versatility of some of those different types of artificials.
Right, and locating the fish, you know, with the artificials, you can locate fish.
Well, with the artificials in mind, how does the company choose a product to go to market?
I think it's, you know, for the successful companies, if they listen to their reps and, you know, regionalize, you know, baits that, you know, are strong in that area, the types of, you know, live baits, you know, that are strong in that area, working with pro staffers, you know, matching the hatch.
So they actually do stuff that's more regionally specific in some instances?
Most do.
Some do.
Yeah,
some do.
A few do.
A few do.
I remember when, you know, Southwest Florida would have a lure that was very popular that people would make, and another one for the East Coast that was a popular lure of Florida, and then you'd have one that maybe was regional, one that was half the U.S., but now they seem tend not to want to make something unless it's going to appeal to at least half of the country. Like inshore lure, they want to appeal it from South Georgia to South Texas, or they don't feel it's worthwhile. They don't, most of the things that were kind of localized, we had one here, well, we've had several that are just gone now. And, you know, you say that's how you bring it, people actually, companies actually listen to people.
For the most part, they do.
Okay, some do. All right. Very, very tactful, right? All right. Like, if you're thinking of something, okay, a company comes up with something, how long does it take to go from the idea of a lure maybe to when the people actually can buy it?
I would say a year, you know, with, you know, getting the bait that they want to come out with, do some, you know, R&D work first, or if it's, you know, reels and rods, I'd say about a year.
From the idea to actually putting it in the customer's hands?
Put it in the store, the shelves.
That's less time than I would have thought. I would have thought at least 2 years.
Because yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking in my head.
But yeah. I'm actually kind of surprised it's that little time, because a year really isn't that much.
I guess maybe different for different the type of product, you know.
But that's okay. It's a good answer.
How do you guys test your products?
We have pro staffers that are, you know, product testers. You know, guys from the factory out there fishing the products and testing them.
Now, do you guys do like any in-house testing, like on, say, for example, like we'll pick on because you do the reels.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys do like any testing in the facilities where you simulate the different strains that people would put their stuff through, whether
yes.
it's rained on or salt water or
yes.
submerging stuff yep. or anything like that?
Akuma has you know, a salt water chamber that they spray the reels, you know, continuously for, you know, 30 days straight, 45 days straight, and, you know, take out the reels out of the chamber and open it up and see if anything, you know, salt water's got inside of the reels, the rods. They have multiple testing, you know, with bags and weights of, you know, testing the action of the rods, machines that, you know, pull on the rods back and forth, you know, to test the strength. There's multiple.
Is there YouTube videos out there or anything where people
yes.
can actually look at some of that
yes,
stuff?
Yes, there's YouTube videos of new products. And it goes in depth of the features of the products, you know, the technical side of
right.
the product, and, you know, what applications, you know, that product is used for.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Okay. Now, I think one of the big things is there a, why do some products cost so much more than other products? You know, you've got, just say, I mean, you're a big Akuma guy. We've got Akuma reels that sell for $16 and ones that sell for hundreds of dollars.
It's just the materials that go in there, you know, depending, you know, if it's on stainless gears, you know, the type of bearings that they use. Yeah, obviously, in the higher end, you know, reels, they're going to use better ball bearings. So I'd say that, you know, material that they're using in the range of, you know, the products.
Okay, now, let's see, are you, how are the companies that you work with? Now, when you go to take on a company, are you looking for a company that's more fish friendly? You know, that, okay, there's only so much you can do to make things, you know, environmentally good or fish good. I would say fish friendly instead of environmentally friendly, because nothing's friendly for the environment. You know, right. I mean, we're not friendly for the environment. So, but, is that something you take into consideration when you're thinking about a product?
Sure. Sure. You know, I can tell you that, you know, like, for example, you know, it's not a new company, but, you know, Mustad, it's, you know, coming out with single hooks instead of, you know, using treble hooks. Is, you know, safer for the fish. There's not many hooks.
So, single hook replacement for, like, treble hook lures.
For lures, correct.
Okay, so... there's just a lot of things, but, you know, we all, there's a lot of eco nuts out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, because let's face it, they look at 5 years worth of planet history and say, oh, this is horrible. I look at 10, 20,000 years and say, well, it's not that different. But when you're going along, looking at products, have you ever turned down a company that was just too out of bounds, just too nuts?
No.
Not yet.
Not yet.
I don't know of any in the business, or like I should actually say any that are still in the business. I've met a couple that were just a little off the charts for as far as what they were doing and how they wanted to do it, and it was... But you're pretty lucky. I mean, I work at a store, and I've run into a couple of those.
Yep.
With all your different products, what is their reasoning behind either canceling an item or re-engineering an item?
Well, you know, it could be a couple reasons. You know, canceling a product is, you know, sales. You know, redesigning product is, you know, to make it better. You know,
all last right, the one. Reason for this yeah. question. And somebody just brought it up. We were talking about this before you got here. And he says, you know, every time I get something I like, and I'm get used to using it, I really like it, and they cancel it or they change it.
Well, you know, it could be new technology, you know, new materials that are coming out, you know, especially in the reels. There's reels on the market now that are lighter. You know, there were the reels that were out in the market, they were heavier, but with new technology, reels are lighter. I can say, you know, maybe there's a reason why they've canceled some of the reels out, because that's the trend.
Okay. You know, yeah, but reels. But you working retail at one point, you understand where we're coming from, because you get it if it's an item that you see quite a few returns on, whether it's a lure breaking or a rod breaking, you understand that. But when you've got an item that you're selling very consistently with super minimal returns for breakage or any purpose like that, and all of a sudden they change it or totally cancel it, it's one of those harder things for us to understand, to explain right. to the customers. And I just didn't know if they looked at numbers as an overall throughout the whole state sales or... nationwide, how, you know, some of those, or is it just all of a sudden they just said, you know, we're just going to change this just to change it?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, overall sales, what they see nationwide.
Okay.
That's so, you know, the whole bottom line is, you know, if it's
okay. Well, here, that lends into the next question. Are there any new products coming out that you can talk about here in the next little while, or is it all going to be waiting till next year?
New products are coming out for 2018, are actually, you know, coming out right now. You know, from, you know, Akuma and, you know, Mustad.
Okay, what is Akuma bringing out?
We have several new spinning reels. The Pixar, which is going to be in the $70 retail price range. We have a new
No, I know the Epixir. That's yeah. not a new reel. What? Why are you no. saying the Epixir is a new reel?
It's a redesign. Nice. Aesthetically, you know, up to date, you know, body style.
So they rebuilt the Epixir, and that one I had mixed reviews on. Some people really liked it, some didn't. You know, I can understand redoing that one, because I would have given it a 6 or a 7 on the scale of, okay, do I like it? It was definitely, you know, around the middle level. It wasn't like people were in love with that reel. And that, I think this is that last one was the second or third revision of it.
Right.
So what's going to be different on the newer picture?
Body, it's still going to be a graphite body, but the styling of the body, you know, lighter weight reel. It's going to be, the cosmetics are going to match up with more rods that are out there in the market.
Okay, good point. Now, you say Mustad's got something. What's Mustad coming out with here?
Mustad's got new bucktails. And where these bucktails are going to be different, they have two different tie points. So you can fish vertically, or you can fish, you know, top water. You can tie it at the front. If you're dolphin fishing, you like to keep that bucktail on the top of the surface, and so you can tie it to the front.
Robert and I were in one booth, and we, as you know, we love to mess with you guys, and we went into the booth, and I'm looking at the guy. I go, how come there's a ring on the front of this lure, and there's two, you know, I think there was 3 or 4 altogether. I said, what are these different rings for? I said, what do you do with those? And he says, and he's looking at me, he goes, well, this one's just for the pros. You'll never have to worry about doing that. You want to tie here, and, you know, once you get better, you'll be able to go to this. And I said, well, really? And he's like, yeah. And he says, you know, are you interested in any of these lures? I said, well, no, I'm not a pro. Why would I want to throw that lure? And I walked away.
Yeah. That was dead serious, too. Wow. I couldn't believe the guy actually said that. It's like, wow. And I mean, we both kind of understood what they were there for, but it was like...
Well, the basis behind this, so you guys get in on the joke, is if you tie a lure directly on the nose, let's say you have a lure and it's kind of cigar-shaped or minnow-shaped, and you put one right dead in the front of the lure, it's going to go very, very shallow. As you go back a little bit on the head, going up on the top, it will run a little deeper. If you go back a little further on the top, it's going to run even deeper. These different hook points are for getting the lure to run deeper. If it's far enough back, it will hang almost straight horizontally. So when you're vertical jigging it, say you're in a boat and you're in 40, 60 feet of water or more, and you're bouncing straight up and down with the lure, it will allow it to hang properly and the fish will want to go after it. So the farthest point, middle point, so to speak, would be for vertical jigging. But as you move it more towards the front half of the lure, those different ring positions determine how deep the lure will go as you retrieve it. That's what the joke was about. And I just had a hunch this guy didn't know his right cheek from his left cheek, not without writing an R and L on his hand. So I don't know, where are we, Robert?
How are some of the events like our tent sale and other consumer shows important to you guys?
Well, for the manufacturer, especially a new manufacturer, marketing, getting your and demonstrating, you know, the products. If it's a new lure, and showing the consumers the new product and getting the word out there, it's all grassroots efforts.
Okay, so they're fairly important then, is trying to get
very
out there.
Very important.
So, you know, I think the reason we threw that question in, or the reason I put that question in, not only to promote my tent sale, because I think it's the best event in fishing next to maybe the Bassmaster. It's a big event, but you actually get to meet the people, and the people decide, do they like you and your products? And that's a big deal. But in this day of internet and mass marketing on the TV and internet stuff, I think that meeting people one-on-one and talking to them individually is still the most important thing myself or the manufacturers can do. Now, is that something you think is still going on in the industry? Do they still think it's important? Or are they more concentrating on the other stuff? Do you think that's being forgotten?
I think it's, you know, both. And I don't think it's being forgotten, because the factories that I deal with still see that, you know, the grassroots effort is a very strong way of marketing.
Yeah, I was listening to how many companies you got. I said, boy, I'm going to have to expand the tent sale because you're adding, what, two or three more tents to the tent sale?
That's correct.
Two or three more this year, and you've already had, I think you had five last year. So you're going to be here, what, six, seven booths?
Yep.
With different manufacturers? So, yeah, that's going to be an interesting show. That's March 24th this year, by the way. Because the Bassmaster Classic moved to 4 week. What do you enjoy most about doing consumer shows?
It's just the interaction of people and, you know, having the ability to, you know, show a beginner or a kid getting into fishing and showing them, you know, the first fishing rod and reel that they're going to use and just, you know, just the interaction and, you know, talking to people. I just, that's what I love about this business. And, you know, I'd say that.
All right. Now, this next one is, it reads as a generic question, what do you see the future of the tackle business? The breakdown when I wrote that question was, do you see independent fishing tackle stores like mine, like the one Robert and I are here, or do you see it moving more to the box stores or the internet? Do you think tackle stores will have a place?
My opinion, independents will always still be around because the independent can react faster than the box stores. And you
but
get
not as fast as the internet in a lot of cases.
No, true. They will still always be around. So I think, you know, what you guys do here at, you know, Fish and Franks, that you always bring in the newest and, you know, lures, you know, reels.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but I think we blend the new and the very old. I was so disappointed one of the companies canceled a lure. I'm like, but I haven't had any for a couple. I couldn't figure out why we were out of this lure. It was a lazy hike. Mm-hmm. I've always kept a couple lazy hikes in here because I've got myself and some of the older guys that, you know, still remember what a great lure it was. I couldn't figure out why we didn't have them, and we literally went through every single page of the catalog. They canceled them. I'm like, you got to be kidding. After 100 years, you cancel a lure? Oh, I was so upset. So anyway, but I think in this store's case, we blend the very old with the new and the reasonable. But where do you see the future of the business going? Do you think things are getting better or worse?
You know, if we can, I think what affects us a lot is too is the regulations. And I mean, obviously the internet. You know, if we're comparing the independents and the
fishing
online
or business or anything, you know, however you want to look at it, this is a broad question that could include: do you think the fishing's getting better or worse? Do you think freshwater's come back, saltwater, inshore, offshore? Do you think business is going to the internet or to the independents or box stores or?
Well, I think it's gonna be a struggle for the box stores. There's been several that have closed. There's one just closed in Canada, another one. So I see that's where it's gonna be, you know, change there. You know, you're gonna have, you know, independents and then the internet.
That's an interesting perspective. Is that what you would have thought, Robert?
Well, it's not what I would have thought, but it makes perfect sense when he explains it, you know? Because, I mean, we do get to make changes quick, you know, because we don't have to deal with that corporate BS and meetings and all that other junk. So those small mom and pops.
We just go, Robert, you like it? Yeah. Well, yeah, I kind of like it. All right, you want to buy it? Okay.
Right, exactly. You know, so I like that concept. I mean, it's kind of a nice fresh thought.
And quite honestly, that was kind of what I thought, because when I'm doing stuff, I go to the local merchants, or if my grandkids are, I gotta send something to them, I buy it online because now I don't have to pay to ship it. And it's that not paying to ship that's a big deal, because I used to spend as much shipping the gifts or more shipping them than I spent on the gifts. Yeah. It was a lot of money, and they're thinking, okay, they're only getting a $25 gift. Well, it's costing me $25 to send it. You know, it was a big deal, and that's one of the things that I do. And heck, guys, I no problem if you're, you know, buying stuff and mailing it to somebody. You know, if you're in the area, please stop by and get it here. But if you're mailing it, the heck, grab the free shipping.
Yeah. And I think it really changed in when the smartphones came out, because, you know, you had people go to their desktop and buy, but having the smartphones and the iPads, you can buy anywhere you are at. If you're at a baseball game, you can buy there.
The only thing I'm going to tell people out there right now, and this is very, very important, support your local independent stores, but make sure you still buy stuff at a local box store. The problem with it is we saw on the hurricane, you go to Publix, they have water, they have food, it's all right there. You don't have to order it and mail it in. It's literally right down the street. And if these local or regional stores go away, even some of the chains like Publix or Target, go to Target and spend a little money in store. Don't let our Target stores, our Publix, our Home Depots, our Lowe's close up. Where are we going to do something if we really need something? This is where the internet is going to cause a real problem. On a day-to-day level, it won't make any difference. But on an emergency basis, when there's a storm coming, a disaster, a hurricane, a tornado hits, you can't get on the internet and call anybody and have it shipped. But you can get a ride down to, walk down to Target, you know, Publix, Lowe's, Home Depot. These are important stores for areas, because we don't have a lot of independent little hardware stores or lumber shops. So we have to have the Lowe's and the Home Depots. We don't have a choice. That's all that's left. We gotta make sure we take care of them at least a little bit, just enough to keep those stores open. Because otherwise, we are all in big trouble, boys and girls.
Absolutely.
If trouble comes.
Right.
All right. The last one, I'm not even going to ask you. What do you like most about your job? And that I can answer that from talking to you. You like dealing with people. You like the interaction, meeting people, and doing all that. So, did I get it right?
You're absolutely right.
Okay, so this puts us to the last thing. What's your final thoughts? Just kind of anything. Is this fishing, you happy? Are you happy? I mean, are you still enjoying the business?
I love it.
You still like going to the stores, and are you happy?
Yes, I'm very happy. I still got a long ways to go, and I look
forward. Isn't that an unusual question in today's world? But yeah, to me, it's an important one. Are you happy, right?
I'm very happy. You got to love what you do. Yeah, I believe in that.
See, I believe a little different. I think you should like what you do real well, mm-hmm, and then do what you love for a hobby. Yeah. Keep it fresh. I mean, I love dealing with the people, and it's the only thing that's kept me in this business is the people. Because you and I both know this is very cutthroat, and it's all about cost and expense and, you know, this price and that price. And there's just a lot of really behind-the-scenes horrific things going on. But it's the people that keeps you here.
Right. You're absolutely right.
Because I can tell you, it ain't the paycheck. I can go up the street, sell cars, and make more money than I do sitting in here. But, you know, to me, that's the thing that keeps me here, and it seems like that's what's keeping you here.
Right.
So, anyway, Ray, and what's the name of your company?
Alliance Sports Group.
And I can tell you, if you're a fishing tackle manufacturer or whatever out there and you want somebody who really works, when we go, we do the Fort Myers Boat Show, we do Bonita Springs, we do Punta Gorda, we do Charlotte County, we do all these different shows and all these events, and, of course, the massive tent sale that we do here. Ray's there before it starts. He hauls stuff, he lifts stuff, he totes it. I mean, Ray's out there just sweaty and nasty with the rest of us, working to you know, when you see the show, you're like, oh, that's cool. You don't realize how many people ran around and got nasty behinds with lots of lots of sweaty stuff to put all that together to stand around and go, hey, how's it going? You want to talk about fishing? You know, it's a lot of work. It
takes a lot of work.
And yeah, it does. That's the one thing that you've never shied away from the work, and it's one of the reasons you're one of our favorite reps and our first person on the show. Hopefully we'll get a little more at ease with this.
Yeah.
But as a final thought for me, boys and girls, if you have any questions you would like us to ask people in the industry, we will add it to the list, providing it's, you know, within the realms of what we want to do. But I'm really looking for suggestions. I'll change some of the questions. I'll add new ones, delete some, if you find a topic boring or too good or whatever. But we're looking to define the show to make it what you want to hear in the fishing industry. Robert, final thoughts?
You pretty much covered that. I like it. I mean, all the different people that we're going to get to talk to, having other questions to ask is going to be a good thing. But some of them are going to be very specific to each person because some aren't as well-rounded as Ray of having so many different items to talk about.
You know, and I didn't mean to ambush you quite so often on this, but literally we're sitting here looking down a list trying to make sure we cover everything. And Robert's going, really, what's the next question here?
Right.
It's been interesting.
It's good stuff.
All right. Anyway, I would say that one, there he goes. The fish is off. He's running. And off the line. Oh, my God. The show's going to stop on that one. So we will... Fishing Franklin in the chair, Robert in the chair across me, and our special guest, Ray. From, he's a fishing tackle representative group. He's like one of the boss guys and everything. So, thanks for putting up with us. We appreciate it. Hopefully, it's going to be a weekly event. We're going to have different people on all the time. We will be bringing Ray back, especially around the holidays, because we are going to do some kind of interesting stuff with Akuma. And we're going to try and bump that up. So sometime in the next couple weeks, stay tuned for more stuff with Ray. We got some interesting things on the way with Ray. All right. And Fishing Frank here. Thanks for listening. Bye, y'all.